the daily office. In Psalm 34, there's a verse out of that. Many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of all of them. And I thought that was a general word, but it's for you. Now, you guys all may be a little hesitant about some of the stuff I've got up here. I'll start with a shirt first, because I picked it out especially. I'm going to tell you a little background before I talk about planting trees. And we have a garden in our backyard, and it looks pretty unkempt. But I can tell you, because of the sweat and tears that have gone into that garden, that it's organized. Now, this is not the shirt I wear to work in my garden. It's been told it can't go beyond the backyard. So this is the shirt I would like to wear someday in the garden as everything is done. But I'm not sure that that day will ever come. But a little background on the garden. About 10 years ago, we decided that we were going to make the garden that we wanted. So 170 bags of topsoil came into that yard through our van and my back. And if you don't know how much that weighs, that's almost 3.5 tons of dirt. Well, there's also peat moss that goes with that. There's sand that goes with that because of the clay in this area, and other amendments to the soil. So you can imagine there was a lot that went in there. Now, about 3 years ago, we had to have some work done, and the workers assured us that they were just going to make a little 4-6 foot sliver through our garden back to the very back of the property. Well, when we came back that afternoon, that little 4 to 6 foot wide sliver was a 14 to 16 foot wide gash, especially through the area that I had spent so much time working on. Now, my wife and I both cried, and I told her that we would start it again. And fortunately, I had help from my son-in-law's in rebuilding the second time around. And we didn't use quite as much dirt, because they didn't haul off the dirt. They just buried it under the clay that they turned up. So we had to get all that out again. That's the background on how our garden comes about. Now, the big thing I want to do now is tell you that being a Christian father is like planting trees. These are the implements I use in our garden to dig, to prepare, to plant the trees. This pick, if you don't use this pick, as you can see, the shovel is a little worn at the tip because of the clay in our yard. Even this pick at times is not easy to get through that. So when I picked out 7 trees to put in the yard this spring, I looked at those and knew what was up, because when I prepare the ground, I have to dig out the clay, put it somewhere else where it won't cause a problem for my neighbors, and then put in good soil. Now, that doesn't sound like a big deal until you realize that with some of the trees that I planted, I had to dig a 6 to 8 foot wide hole 2 to 3 feet deep. Now that, after an hour and a half to 2 hours, is done with each one of those. And then what happens? Well, then you put the tree in, then you have to put something back in its place. So after about 3-3.5 hours, you've got a finished product. Now that product looks like nothing was done around it. But there was 3-3.5 hours of intense labor that went into getting that one tree in. And then you don't stop there. You have to tend to that tree. You have to pay special attention to it. You have to water it. You have to fertilize it. You have to knead it. You have to put all amendments into it. And then also, as time goes on and it takes hold and it takes root and it starts flourishing, you have to prune it, or else it'll be out of control. That's like being a Christian father. Next. I want to read from the Message. This is from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, don't exacerbate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. Father Carl showed us that last week. And I want to spend the rest of the time on the take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. Now, one of my favorite bloggers is Carrie Jones. She just happens to be my daughter. But she had a blog on my 60th birthday, and I'm going to read some of the things out of it, because I think this is what we as Christian fathers want to happen to us as time goes on, and especially as we're in that beyond middle age time frame. In this blog, she said, "He pointed me in the Lord's direction. He didn't force me there, but led me there with his love and example. And most of all, I will be eternally grateful." And now I've got a song that I want to cue up. I don't have the eloquent speech as Carl and Ben do, so I have to make up for that lack with different tools. And one of them is doing the multimedia thing. So if we could go to the next slide and press the speaker. Pay careful attention to the words.
I look around and see my wonderful life. Almost perfect from the outside. In picture frames, I see my beautiful wife, always smiling, but on the inside, oh, I can hear her saying, "Lead me with strong hands. Stand up when I can't. Don't your life, I know we
We'll go without the song the rest of the way, but this is the big point anyway. We're not going to get there unless we do this for the Father, with the Father. We're not going to have the strength to do all these things that we need to do as husbands and as fathers. And unless He leads us, we're not going to be able to lead our families. There's no way. And that gets back to the message of Don last week, that God loves us. It gets back to the message from the bishop, I can't, you can. And it gets back to Carl's message of leading us. I'm just trying to tie these things in together. Next. And I think this is the way that as fathers and husbands, that we lead them to the in the way of the master. We share the good news. Now, what's that good news? We've had that pounded into us over the years. God loves us. He's not mad at us. Most of all, He's not keeping score. He's not giving up on us. He gives us good hope. Not hopeless hope, but good hope. And He provides eternal comfort for us. So the things that come about us that press us in and make life so hard and difficult, we just have to, as the bishop was saying, we just let His Spirit fill up our vessels, empty ourselves out, let Him fill us up, and keep saying, I can't, you can. And also keep saying, God loves us, and we emphasize that. God loves us. Now, we also have to reflect the Heavenly Father as we do these things. If we shared that good news, and if our children are getting that, if our wives, our husbands are getting that from us, then how do we do that? We show His love, we reflect His love, we reflect His commitment, we reflect His steadfastness, and we reflect His integrity. Now, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I can't do that the way He does it. And that's why I chose that word reflecting the Heavenly Father as opposed to being like the Heavenly Father. I mean, I strive for doing that, but I don't love the same way He loves. My commitment is very strong, but it's not His commitment. The daily readings from the gospel today was about the parable of the lost sheep. I'm not sure I have that passionate commitment that would cause me to just give up on, leave everything else and go and get that lost one. And then rejoice wildly when I brought it back into the fold. I'd like to think I'm there, but I don't think I am. That steadfastness. He is our rock all through the Psalms. He's our rock. He's our refuge. He's going to be there. There's no doubt about it. It's just us grasping that, knowing that without even thinking, all we have to do is reach back, reach up, and He's going to take our hands. He's going to lead us through this. His integrity. You can count on His word. What He says, it will be. What He says He will do, He will do it. And then the final slide. We know that He unconditionally loves us. The question is, what does that really mean? It means John 3:16, that He sent His Son, His only beloved Son, to die for us because He loved us. Now, I know we all know that scripture, but do we really grasp fully what that unconditional love is? I'm not sure that we do. And as a father, I try to walk that out with my children. They put me to the test. And I think for the most part, I've passed that test. Because they know, no matter what they do, they can come to me. Now, I may have to walk out of the room for a while and calm back down and ask my Father, because I can't, He can, to love them unconditionally so that I can go back in that room and love them the way they need to be loved at that moment in time. That's about as close to unconditional as I can get. So I like to think of it as I've tried to love my girls extravagantly. As Carrie put it in her blog, he spoiled me. He loved me extravagantly. And I think it also gets back to Dwayne's talk about that unusual kindness, that unusual compassion, that extravagant love. That's what we as parents, we as spouses are striving to do. And the world so much wants to keep us from doing that. So we have to continually go, I can't, you can't.